So I said last week, as we looked at the calling of Peter, is that the mission of the church, the mission that Jesus brings to us, is to liberate sinners and to send them to free others. That the mission that Jesus is about, that he gives to us as his church, is to liberate sinners and then send them out to free others. And in this passage, that's exactly what we begin to see as we turn from that sort of statement and that calling of Peter to Jesus' beginning of his public ministry, as we see a story of liberation. And this man from leprosy comes to Jesus and finds relief. One of my favorite contemporary writers and poets is a woman named Mary Carr. She's actually a Texan, so you can trust her. She's from Texas, she's from East Texas. She is an incredibly thoughtful and very powerful writer. And she writes a lot of both poetry and memoir. It's almost an equal measure. Her books are either about her life or about poetry. And she writes in the last few years about this experience of both getting sober as well as coming unexpectedly to faith in Jesus, both of which were things that happened in her life that she never thought would happen. And she wrote a book of poetry about this time and period of transition in her own life, and the book is entitled Sinner's Welcome. And it came from a banner that her church in Syracuse, New York, had above the door leading into their sanctuary. It said, Sinner's Welcome. And she says this about why she titles her book that. She says, I always loved walking under that banner. I used to think you had to be good to go to church. But you can go, even when you haven't been to confession, even when you haven't been cleansed. Who needs it more than a sinner? In this book, she kind of embraces that term sinner and twists it and turns it in a way that becomes fresh and begins to show that Jesus' care, his church, his mission is for people who have been broken by life, who are misshapen by situations, and are hungry and deeply longing for something more, and that he is that more. And she, like we were talking with Drew, doesn't sugarcoat it or wax over or color it in just bold and beautiful colors. She actually talks about the challenges and the strife and the ways of finding God that are both beautiful and haunting at the same time. Jesus is this Savior who is at the center of a mission of welcoming people, because we will see here in this passage his character, the character of God, is as one who hosts and welcomes sinners and heals lepers. It's a pretty simple, straightforward story. It's not too complicated. It's even very short, just a few verses that we read in chapter 5 today. A leper comes to Jesus, and he's wondering one thing. Will he welcome him? Will he welcome him, a leper? What is leprosy? Leprosy in the first century world was any sort of skin condition. It was not just what we call Hansen's disease, which is modern day leprosy, but it could be a wide variety of skin disorders. They didn't have the medical ability to diagnose if it was contagious or not. So kind of all skin issues were deemed something to just be quarantined from the larger community. And so if you had any sort of skin condition or leprosy, you were exiled. That you were placed outside of the community. You were cut off from contact. You had to cover your face. You had to wear ripped clothing. You had to cry out if you saw somebody who wasn't part of your leper community, unclean, whenever you saw them approaching. This was a physical disease, but it had serious mental and spiritual downsides to it. To be isolated, to be cut off from your family, your friends, your means of support. to be placed in a place with others, some of whom are in serious medical condition far worse than yours. And that is your only community. This sort of being labeled a leper was a social disease, not just a physical one. And so the toil of that situation, the toil of being labeled a leper, is evident in this man as he comes to talk to Jesus. As he comes, you notice he doesn't even ask for healing. That's not the nature of his interaction with Jesus. It's not even a question that he asks Jesus. It's a statement that he speaks to Jesus. And that statement seems to be preparing him for hearing it in the negative, right? He seems to be kind of tensing and projecting and ready for Jesus' rejection by the way he even frames this question, which is not a question. I just said question, but it's really more of a statement. The statement that he says, he's almost ready to hear a rebuff. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, if you want, if you are willing to include people like me, I'm sure you have the power to do so. Do you hear? This isn't a statement about ability. He knows exactly Jesus' ability to heal. He knows Jesus' sort of position as Messiah. He's heard rumors about Jesus' ministry that has just begun in the neighboring cities. He even calls him Lord, like Peter did. But the question here is not about ability, but about character. Are you willing? Do you want people like me? Is your power, is your kingdom, is your church, is your movement for folks like me who are outsiders, outcast, shamed? Do you want me? Am I too much? Am I too much for you? Will you welcome me? Mary Carr, in her memoir called Lit, says this. She says, every now and then we enter the presence of the numinous and deduce in an instant how we are formed and in what detail the force that infuses every petal might specifically run through us, that it wishes only to lure us into our full potential. When we encounter God, when this man encounters Jesus, there is both a hope that this God, this force, this power, that his character is good. But there is a deep fear that perhaps we're misguided, that that's not the case. That instead of us, when we come in humility, we're going to be met with rejection. This man meets God face to face with his question of worthiness and finds God's full attention bent on welcoming him. Everything here in this passage is good news. Jesus' actions toward this man are antithetical to everything he thinks God might do in fear, right? He fears rejection. He fears perhaps this kingdom that he's been hearing talked about is not for people like him. He fears because he's had a history and a story and a personal experience of such rejection. That he even comes to Jesus here is a testimony of the power of God to reach out even when we are far away and begin to draw us closer and closer, to lure us in. And you can almost imagine the internal dialogue of this man. Okay, one more time. One more time I'm going to put myself out there. One more time I'm going to try. Maybe this guy's different. And he is absolutely different. What does Jesus do here in this passage that everybody else has never done to him before in his leprosy? What does Jesus first do? He reaches out. He moves towards the man. The man has come to Jesus, and Jesus, when he hears this lament, when he hears this call, when he hears this cry, "Will you welcome me, even me?" What does he do? He bends, he moves, and then he touches the man. There is no distance. There is no social isolation. There is an absolute movement of God's grace to actually engage this man with physical touch. And that physical touch makes him realize, I am worthy. I may be a leper, but this Lord is moving towards me. He loves me and cares for me. He touches him, and then he speaks. He says, I will. Sometimes Jesus is very economical in his use of language. He doesn't go on and on. Jesus is not a typical preacher, just FYI. You know, he's very trim in his language because his life speaks so much. That touch was pretty much all that was needed in this storyline for that man to know his fear had been met with a God who loves and cares for him. But almost the rest of this story is for you and me, because that transaction is finished. But Jesus says to his disciples, to the crowd, to all those around him, I will. Yes, I want you. I want to do this. This is why I came. I came to heal. I came to announce the year of Jubilee. I came to welcome sinners. I came to heal your diseases. I will. And then he heals him. Be clean. Be clean. The man didn't ask for healing, right? He gets something far more than just healing of a disease. He gets clean. Everything that had separated him has been now removed in this touch. The disease is gone, yes. That removed him from community, and that's gone. But also, in that be clean, he is now right with God. Any sin has been removed. He has been absolved. He has been made right with God. He has been reunited with his community. He's been reunited with his Savior. He's been reunited to his purpose. Part of his becoming whole is this thing that he does that Jesus has to like tamp down, right? The other thing Jesus says here is, okay, go to the priest. Don't make too big a deal about this. He tells him to go to the priest because the priest is sort of the health inspector of the day. He needed the health inspector's certification to go back to work, to go back to his house, to go back to his family. So he needed that. But Jesus is also talking to him about his calling. This man gets it more than a lot of us, more than even Peter does, that the mission Jesus is calling us in is he has come to welcome sinners, to forgive them, to free them. And then those freed sinners are then to move out to offer that freedom to others. This man gets that so much, Jesus has to say, okay, slow it down, buddy. This is the first best evangelist in the Gospel of Luke. He does such a good job that it hinders Jesus' ability to continue his work in that area. So many people are wanting this freedom that they rush Jesus. It's like fire has hit a forest that hasn't seen rain for years. And it just ignites. People are so hungry. I want that freedom. I want that liberation. If it came for you, the leper, could it come for me too? See, we all have the same question the leper has. Am I too much? Is what I'm going through, is my pain, is my struggle, are my fears, are my doubts, are my, fill in whatever blank you want with that statement, am I too much for you, God? Everybody has that question. And Jesus healing this leper is unequivocally saying, no, you are not too much. I have come to heal you, to touch you, to bring you into my embrace, to fit you for my purposes, and to send you out as my people into this world. No, you are not too much. You are beloved of the Father. Freedom is this contagious ability. And so what is the impact for us personally? The impact for us personally as individuals, as you and I sitting here today hearing this story, is to not separate it by thousands of years of history and say, well, that was then, this is now. It's for us to come forward, to follow the leper's lead, to follow what the leper did in our own lives and our own discipleship. Some of us are people of faith, some of us are still questioning. Some of us have one foot out the door. We are all along a spectrum of our spiritual development in life. But the leper here unveils the question that plagues us all. Is this too much for you to handle? Whatever that is for you, the leper is saying, it is not too much for God. And so, following the leper's lead is simply taking that question to Jesus. One of the things that in Mary Carr's writing, she talks about how she came to faith, is she'd pretty much just given up. She was a raging alcoholic. Her family life had fallen apart. It was just a total chaos. And she tried getting things under control, and it hadn't really worked. And a friend just said to her, well, have you ever tried praying? And she goes, oh, no, not really. I don't do prayer. And her friend's like, well, nothing else is working for you. Why don't you try it for 30 days? And she did. Just 5 minutes for 30 days. And she said, the first thing all I could say was, Lord, help me stay sober today. That was my only prayer. And then over time, she began to see and ask and unveil these questions to God. She doesn't say this, but a friend of mine says, you know, when I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't pray, they don't happen. This leper stepped out to pray. He went to God with this problem. Would you follow him, whatever that problem is? Would you take 30 days, 5 minutes, morning, in the shower, at night, on your drive, if you have a drive still, you know, would you take 5 minutes just to be in the presence of this Jesus and bring to him the thing that's weighing you down? And then would you hear his words as words to you? Sam, I will be clean. Would you read those words with your name for the next 30 days? Sam, I will be clean. And just let those words sink in. Let them come to you. Imagine you before this Jesus reaching out his hand and saying that to you in the situation that's challenging you at the moment. And then would you receive his words and his healing? I'm making a bold claim here. I'm making a claim that this Jesus who touched this leper is the same Jesus present to us right now through his word, doing exactly the same thing here. And I want you to allow that Jesus who moves towards you to heal, to receive it. As you receive it, would you let other people into this message? Jesus had to tell this guy, slow down, buddy. Generally, he doesn't have to tell the North American church in the early 21st century to slow down. In fact, we need to hear kind of the opposite, speed up. Healing is present. And as he begins this work of healing in your life, would you just simply talk to a friend, a trusted confidant, a spouse, someone you can trust about the places you begin to see that healing break out? Even the small little shoots of it, would you begin to give voice to it? It's a process. This story is great because it's very clear and simple and it's contained. This story, though, can unfold over years and time. But it does happen because the character of God is a God who welcomes us into his presence in order to heal us, to forgive us, and to send us as his forgiven people into the world. How does this story come to us as a church, as Mercy? What's the impact for us as a congregation? Well, we're called to be a church of welcome to lepers and sinners. If our mission is to be freed sinners, called to offer that freedom to others, our churches need to be places where we likewise welcome sinners and expect lepers to show up. And so how do we do that? One, there's a calling to be a church of hope, right? We believe change happens. We don't just gather because it's convenient. We don't just gather because it's fun. We don't just gather because we happen to like this ancient book called the Bible. We gather because we believe that God's character is one of change. And because he's a God who changes us and changes situations, we have a deep hope in order to go into the most desperate situations with confidence that he will act. But it's not just triumphalism. Oh, God's going to automatically just change everything. We're also a church of humility, a humble church. Remember, we're forgiven sinners. Sinners aren't out there, and all us saints are in here, right? We are all sinners. All the sinners got welcomed. Even, most importantly, you and me. We got welcomed in. And because we got welcomed in, there's a deep sense of humility that God has forgiven us, and we know what us was like. And there's a humility of saying, hey, to folks on the outside, people in need of grace. Not like, you're such people in need of grace, and I'm here to give it to you. But I understand. I have been there too. I felt the sting. I knew the weight. I have that same question, am I too much? And so we go as compassionate, humbled servants with hope. And because of that, that gives us the ability to welcome. Leviticus 13 describes what the church in the Old Testament was supposed to do to lepers. And it gives these guidelines in 13 about, you know, they're supposed to wear this type of clothing and they're supposed to cover their face and they're supposed to crawl out unclean. And technically, all those things were in operation in this New Testament time where this leper came to Jesus. They were technically being followed. But what had been forgotten was the reason for those injunctions in Moses' day. Moses put those instructions in place in order to call forth compassion, in order to acknowledge the reality of a dangerous situation, to avoid infecting others. But it was never for the purpose of isolating and subjugating and shaming a group of people. Those injunctions were there to care for all and to call forth compassion so that the community can move in mercy towards those that were facing a dire illness. But that had been forgotten. It became easier to remove welcome, to roll up the gates, and to push people out. The church, our church, in order to be a church of welcome, moves towards people, moves towards sinners, such as which we were and still are, and moves towards people that our society and our culture labels as lepers, people we should avoid, people to be careful about, people not to trust, people who you shouldn't get too involved with. The calling is to move towards those people because we are those people. And the character of our God is to move towards us. Mary Carr says this in one of her books. She says, love is the only passion which includes in its dreams the happiness of someone else. Love is the only passion which includes in its dreams the happiness of someone else. The church's dream, because it's drenched in the love of God, is the relief and the happiness and the inclusion of people that our world looks at as lepers. Because this is who our God is. He is a God who comes. He comes to us. He welcomes us in. He heals our diseases. And he calls us brothers and sisters, co-heirs in the kingdom of God. Church, this is our calling. This is our joy. This is our purpose, to be freed sinners on a mission to offer that liberation to everyone. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, we ask for you to fill us, to overcome the doubts we have personally and as a church, to overcome our fears of what it would be like to move towards people that are very different from us, and yet people who are very much the same as us. Lord, help us to be people of hope, people of humility, people of welcome, so that, Lord, we could display your character in this world and celebrate what you're doing, your mission of reconciliation. Amen.